40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where 35,000 NYPD officers are to be in uniform and ready tomorrow ahead of what's expected to be a very busy Lower Manhattan. It's where former President Trump will turn himself in following an indictment linked to a hush money payment made to former porn star Stormy Daniels. WCBS-TV's Jessica Moore is at the courthouse.
He will be fingerprinted and have a mugshot taken, but will not be handcuffed as he will be under the watch of Secret Service agents. Presiding Judge Juan Manuel Marchand has so far denied requests from media, including CBS News, to have a camera in court tomorrow. It is possible the judge could impose a gag order on Trump, preventing him from speaking about the case, including posting on social media, which he has been doing as recently as a few hours ago, writing, quote, witch hunt, as our once great country is going to hell.
New details about a deadly shooting 1 week ago at a Nashville grade school. Police have revealed that the shooter, a former student at the school, fired more than 150 rounds before being killed by police. Investigators say writings left behind by the shooter document months of planning prior to the attack that killed six people. Also today, thousands joined Nashville students for a rally at Tennessee's state capitol asking for an assault weapons ban. 33 people dead across eight states. That was the aftermath from a weekend full of tornadoes. But much of the South and Midwest needs to still be on the lookout for them. Meteorologist Jim Cantore with the Weather Channel.
Already a tornado watch across southern parts of Mississippi, including Mobile, Alabama as well. Tomorrow we jump into the heat of this thing in the afternoon, probably starting in Missouri, moving up into Iowa. We're talking about all hazards in play here. Hail, damaging winds, even tornadoes.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti says jury selection is underway in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, accused of killing her two youngest kids and her husband's ex-wife.
Suspicions started swirling around Daybell and her husband Chad, an author of religious doomsday novels, after her children seemingly disappeared in late 2019. Shortly after, Tammy Daybell died under mysterious circumstances. In June of 2020, the children's bodies were found buried on Chad Daybell's Idaho property.
Traffic deaths are on the rise nationwide, as correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
The National Highway Safety Administration says there's been a more than 10% increase in traffic deaths. Nearly 43,000 people died in 2021. That's the highest number in 16 years. Most are due to speeding, impaired, or distracted driving. The number of pedestrians killed is also up 13%.
This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Watts, your personal injury attorneys dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The National Weather Service says at least nine tornadoes touched down in southern Wisconsin during Friday's storms. One tornado that traveled between Judah and Albany carved a path about 10 miles long and 350 yards wide. The National Weather Service confirms eight other tornadoes from Monroe to Jefferson. A crew is in Iowa County today. Former President Donald Trump may be arraigned tomorrow, the same day Wisconsin voters choose their next state Supreme Court justice. Political observers say it may boost Trump supporters to turn out for Dan Kelly.
Every indication is this race is tightening at the end. I don't think both sides would be loading up and unloading their cannons if they didn't think that they had a chance.
Republican strategist Bill McCaution was on Up Front yesterday. In sports, the Bucks beat Philadelphia last night. The Brewers host the Mets today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson & Watts, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
1106 Main Street in Hopkins, more at 30bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we're coming out of Macho Hodu's studios here, Blue Clay Earth in Minnesota, Twin Cities. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we talk about Native issues. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, before we get to the news, Wen, with Zoe, with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, I just want to say to our Wisconsin relatives out there, all our Native relatives and people that listen to us in Wisconsin, please get out and vote tomorrow. Vote for Judge Janice Protasiewicz. Did I say that right, Wendy?
Protasiewicz.
Thank you. And we really need to keep Wisconsin groovy and all that gerrymandering that's going on there. And
that's
then,
right.
Then also today, when our daughter and I, we were at the Twins field doing...
Target field.
Yeah. And so we're excited about the season coming up, and come visit us here. Our store is out there for every 80 games, and we're really excited to be out there.
Yep.
And,
Native Roots Trading Post is at Gate 34 at the Twin Stadium, which is Target Field in Minneapolis.
Do you remember whose number was 34?
I don't.
Oh, Kirby Puckett.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're a New Yorker. I should have asked you what Keith Hernandez's number was, but
I don't remember his number either.
Oh, well, let's move on to the news that you don't hear anywhere else from Zoe Allen. Welcome, Zoe.
Minkwitch Robert. So this is Zoe Allen, Bougie Relatives. I am Sichangu Lakota from the Rosebud Sioux Nation, as well as a descendant of the White Earth Nation. And today I was just going to share a bit about an event that's happening tomorrow at the Capitol of Minnesota at 8 a.m. There's going to be a rally for Prove It First Day. So the Prove It First bill is a new piece of legislation that they are trying to introduce that is going to try and fight against the proposed Talon nickel mine that, Ogama has talked about previously and in previous shows. And so this is a really important event that's going to be occurring tomorrow at the Capitol. They're going to start in McGregor at 8 a.m. and caravan all the way to the Capitol. So if you can't get to McGregor, just go to the Capitol, be there around 10 a.m. And they'll have some, I'm sure they'll have some speeches and things going on. But just to remind our listeners what the Talon mine is, it's a proposed mine that's going to go in around Aitkin County, Minnesota, which is around central Minnesota. And it's being proposed by this global mining giant, Rio Tinto Kencott. And so they control the mineral leases that Talon Mines is currently exploring and marketing to their investors. And they do not have a very good track record at all of, keeping up their end of the deal, making sure that these mines go in and don't completely destroy the surrounding environments. So the Rio Tinto Kencott company has a documented track record of environmental degradation and human rights abuses all over the globe. On March 6th, actually, they agreed to pay $15 million to settle a 7-year bribery scandal regarding the underdeveloped Simandou iron ore deposit in Guinea. This is a global company, and it's now starting to affect us in Minnesota. And of course, like a lot of things we've been talking about in the news lately, this mine is a part of a broader effort through the Biden administration to, move us closer as a country to having electric cars. And one of the most important metals in creating those electric cars is nickel, because it is a part of the battery and it allows the car batteries to last a lot longer. We've also talked about on the show too of like hemp batteries and other venues that would be potentially more green and better for the earth. It's not like there aren't other options out there. It's just that Biden administration is starting to pass some really scary environmental projects, as we've been talking about, Robert. This is a bipartisan, this is a everyone issue. It's not just a Democratic or a liberal issue. It's going to affect our water. And I wanted to also provide a little more context to why sulfide or copper mining is dangerous. So there's actually been a report that's been submitted by the Northern Eastern Minnesotans for Wilderness organization, and they found that sulfur or copper mining presents more serious risks, such as acid mine drainage, and it would introduce risks in and around the boundary waters. As we know, boundary waters are huge bodies of water. I think I know that the Great Lakes make up some of the world's the largest amount of fresh water, at least in our country. And so, all of our water is connected to each other. And so something that happens in the Mississippi, for instance, eventually trickles its way down all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. And this is no different. So we really do have to keep an eye on this right now. I know it can feel overwhelming. I can definitely feel overwhelmed by the amount of environmental issues going on right now. But that's why I think it's also just so important to come together in times like these and rally together to feel like you can evoke some change, because our voices are absolutely needed and important, especially when it comes to matters of policy. So if you can, please check out this event tomorrow. I hope that it's well attended. It's just another hit on Indigenous lands and peoples, but we're not gonna stop fighting for what we know is right. I don't know, Rob, if you have any reaction to that either. I definitely have a lot more information on this too.
We got a couple minutes left here, Zoe, and one of the things as you were talking, I'm going, there's so much, Wendy, going on. I've already forgotten about the radioactive leaking down at the...
I can't hear you.
At Monticello.
There you go. I think I missed the first part of what you said, Robert. I heard Monticello,
I'm just,
but...
I was just like, as you were speaking, I've forgotten all about 2 weeks ago in Monticello with the nuclear radioactive leak. You know, that's how daunting what we got going on here in Minnesota. And people all need clean water, and it's attack not only on Native Americans, but, you know, the people up there that have resorts and stuff and things like that. I mean, no one's going to go up there if the place is dirty. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not really sure whether Justice Zoe could hear us or if everyone could hear us. So we're just going to keep talking and keep our fingers crossed here.
All right, exactly. Well, I want to put some music on, too, here. So, Ogama, shake your head. Can you hear us?
Yeah, yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Cool.
Awesome.
Right on. Well, hey, thanks, Zoe, for the news. It's intense. It's so important, Wendy.
We have to keep an eye on it. We have short memories. We forget what happens 2 weeks ago. We need to stay up on things and keep active and keep fighting for what we want for our children and our children's children's.
Right, and let's remind our friends out there in Wisconsin land, civic media, get out there and vote. Grab somebody to vote. Vote Judd Janice Portisewicz. Let's get it done here. We'll be right back. We got our sacred animal portion coming up with Wendy Pilot and then also Bob Blake, who is hanging out with President Biden today.
Woo.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho-wa.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz is running to provide you with the justice you deserve.
For years, Judge Janet has supported the youth and underrepresented communities.
Judge Janet has strong values for public education and believes in setting our communities up for success.
Judge Janet believes that Native rights are sovereign rights.
Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering.
Unlike her opponent, Judge Janet not only talks the talk, but walks the walk.
Judge Janet knows the impact that our courts have on our communities, and she will bring integrity and fairness to the court.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz will fight for us. Let's fight for them.
Make a plan to vote by April 4th.
Find your polling place at vote.wisdoms.org. That's vote.wisdoms.org.
vote.wisdoms.org/EV.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we're moving you up here in the show, Wendy, and we got Bob Blake coming on next, and we talk about solar energy and stuff, and he's hanging in Fridley, Minnesota, with our president, President Biden, and he'll have a report on that. And I know, listening to the national news, they talked about him being here and also talking about energy, and that's right up Robert Blake's alley. So, hey, without any further ado, Wendy, this is our sacred animal section, and it's always good to have on, and it's always good for me to be able to say that because sometimes I can't talk. So,
Thank you so much, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I just want to give a shout out to also to my Dega Curtis and his wife, Kim, my aunt. Her mom just passed on. So we just want to wish them the best. Oh. Yeah. You know, healing prayers for the family. We'd never met her, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Thanks, Kim.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. And I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. So I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. But Robert, I have an article here. It's from The Hill, and it's by Saul Elbin. It's dated March 31st, 2023, and it just proves to, again, how the history is taught in this country to our children, and it's all wrong, because look what they found out. Yes, Native Americans used horses for far earlier than historians have believed.
Right.
Yes, Native American communities rode, cared for, and lived alongside horses nearly a century earlier than European records suggest, a new study has found. The study published in the journal Science shatters the conventional narrative of how and when horses came into the indigenous communities of the American West. The study draws on new fusion of tribal oral history with academic archaeology and suggests that rather than being passed on by European colonists, knowledge of the horse has its own deep roots among Native peoples themselves. It also suggests that horses were distributed across the indigenous communities from Wyoming to Kansas generations at least before European accounts suggested that horses had reached them. So there you go. Just another story in our history that has been taught wrong over and over again. So right. The horse has been here. The Europeans didn't bring them.
Right.
And there you go.
Right on.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, springtime. Springtime is coming very slowly here in Minnesota. We just had a whole bunch of snow, but it is melting slowly. And it looks like the north side of our street or the south side is pretty melted, but the north side is not. So,
and we live on
the north side. Well, the front of our house is the north side and our backyard faces the south. So we have no snow in the backyard and a ton still in the front. But. Yeah. So I was reading this article. And it said that, and I didn't even know this, queen bees, the queen bee.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of hibernates.
You're kind of the queen bee.
Kind of, yeah.
Ogma is the queen bee of her house. I know that, too.
Zoe might be a little too young to be a queen bee, but maybe
Princess
she is.
Princess bee.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope that wasn't sexist.
The queen bee burrows under the leaves and hibernates there, and also will bury underneath the dirt and make like a little cabin in there for them. But the thing is that when the springtime comes and the companies come over and people mow their lawns and use their leaf blowers, it could kill all of them, right? So every year, I don't know how long we've been talking about this, but no mow May.
Right.
Right? No.
And we talked to our daughter today, and her husband are all about it, probably because they're lazy.
So, listen, that's a good thing, right? You get to be lazy and you don't have to mow your lawn until you have at least 1 week of every day being at least 50 degrees.
It's a temperature, not the month.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's what I've read anyway. So we want to keep all our.
At the rate we're going, it's going to be no mow August. Is that what we're talking about right now?
Oh.
Yes, you're probably right. I'm not even kidding, right? The rate we're going is right. Jeez. Yeah, and I found this other article that I really loved. It's from the Wildlife in Crisis. It's an organization. It was established in 1988. Wildlife in Crisis is a nonprofit organization dedicated to wildlife preservation and land conservation, founded in 1988. Each year, the Wildlife in Crisis cares for over 5,000 injured and orphaned wild animals. You could take a look if you're interested in wildlifeincrisis.org. But they have this little thing here about how we should live in harmony with our native wildlife. And the first thing on the list is never trap animals. This will only orphan babies and create a void, which other animals will quickly fill. Chimneys, and I didn't know this. If you hear clattering in your chimney during the summer months, these are chimney swifts.
What?
Not sweeps. Swift. What? Swifts.
What?
Chimney swifts.
No.
They are a threatened migratory birds who rest in chimneys. They cause no harm and will vacate by mid-September. They depend on chimneys to raise their young and will return each spring. So they say, please don't light a fire during this time. And the chimneys, why they use the chimneys is because the chimney resembles a hollowed out tree. And that's why they do that. So their babies will be there. And then again, yeah, so never make a fire and just let them stay there until they're gone.
Well, maybe we should hibernate with Zoe and Ogama then and not do anything for a few months.
Yeah. And another kind of myth that people think about are raccoons. If they see them during the day, they think that they're rabid or there's something wrong with them. But that's not true. Healthy raccoons often come out during the daylight hours to search for food, take a break from their babies, or if their den has been disrupted. Seeing nocturnal animals during the day does not mean that they are rabid. This is a myth. There are no carriers of rabies. A rabid animal is a sick animal. Unless a raccoon, skunk, or fox is falling over to one side, showing signs of paralysis or unprovoked aggression, leave it be. Distemper is more common than rabies and has similar symptoms. It is normal for baby animals to be unsteady on their feet. So it wouldn't be a little, a baby raccoon that has rabies. Yeah. Yeah. Coyotes, bears, and bobcats are here to stay. There is no need to panic at the mere sight of these animals. Always supervise small children and small dogs when outside and keep a safe distance between yourself and wildlife. Simply walk away. Don't run. Clap your hands is enough to scare them away if necessary. I would be afraid of a bear. A coyote. We have coyotes around here in the neighborhood. In fact, in our Highland neighborhood group, or it might have been the Mac Groveland neighborhood group Facebook page, somebody's cam that they have on their front door showed a coyote last night walking around. We live very close to the Mississippi River, so there's a lot of wildlife around here.
Yeah.
And if you see a fawn by itself, do not touch it. Mother deer only return to their fawns a few minutes a day, mostly after dark. Keep dogs inside and outdoor lights off to encourage mothers to return. I did read once, however, that if you see a baby fawn and its ears are flipped backwards, that could mean that they're dehydrated and they are in trouble. But if their ears are just pointed straight up like normal, then they should be okay.
Danielle says animals are good people.
Yes. And if you find a nestling bird who has fallen from its nest, you can put it back in the nest if you could reach the nest, of course. It is a myth that parent birds will reject their young if you touch them. Birds have a very limited sense of smell. If you found a fledgling, a fledgling is a fully feathered bird.
Say that three times really
fully
fast.
Fully feathered bird. The parents, you could probably look around and the parents would be very close by. Many species of birds learn to fly from the group up. They should be left alone. If cats are in the area, you should put the fledgling in the nearby shrub off the ground where the parent birds can find them. And please keep your kitty cats indoors. Keeps your cat safe and the animals around you safe.
Wow.
And if you can't, then put a bell around your cat's neck.
Like one of our listeners said, great info, Wendy. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, vote tomorrow, my friends out there. Vote, vote, vote. You're
Wisconsin.
Listening. Yes.
Yes.
Not Minnesota.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Former President Donald Trump arrived in New York this afternoon, one day before he is set to surrender to authorities and make his first court appearance to face criminal charges. Mayor Eric Adams has this message for possible protesters.
While there may be some rabble-rousers thinking about coming to our city tomorrow, our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves.
To Nashville. Chants of blood on your hands from hundreds of students who walked out of classes today and to the state capitol. They're begging lawmakers to create stricter gun laws following last week's deadly shooting at a grade school. WCBS-TV's Jennifer McLogan is at a construction site turned deadly at JFK Airport in New York.
Two workers were instantly buried in rubble. There was an immediate response from rescuers using an excavator, ropes, pulleys, chains. Sadly, both perished in the trench collapse.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. The race for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District could determine if Republicans get a supermajority, allowing them to impeach Democratic Governor Tony Evers and other elected officials. It would also bring the GOP a step closer to being able to override the governor's vetoes. Tomorrow, voters choose between Democrat Jody Habesh-Sitikin and Republican Dan Knotel. Knotel, one of 15 state Republicans who sent a letter to then-VP Mike Pence in January of 2022, asking him to delay certifying the presidential results showing Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. There are two referendum questions about cash bail on tomorrow's ballot, looking to change the language surrounding how the court imposes bail. Supporters say the measures benefit public safety. Some opposed say it's more of a political agenda, with the legislature trying to dictate to circuit court judges how to do their jobs. Tune in to Civic Media stations for live election coverage tomorrow starting at 7 p.m. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Maxine Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cuisine. Some of the favorites include the devilish eggs, beet salad, short rib, pot pie, and decadent burgers. Located at 1106 Main Street in Hopkins or at 30bales.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're here with Bob Blake, who usually does the solar news with the Solar Bear. And I know he's been hanging around with President Biden today, so I'd like to hear a report on that. And welcome Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always love to say that.
Hey, what's up, Robert? What's going on?
Not much. Just feeling your vibe today. I saw those pictures right on.
Yeah, I actually got, well, you know, I mean, there was like a lot of people there. And, you know, I mean, and so I ended up hanging out with like the reporter from the Sahan Journal. I forgot his name. Adam, I think his name was. And we just had a lot of fun, like, hanging out. We were joking, talking. And I was, like, he apparently, like, came in, like, right behind Holly Jackson and, like, their crew, you know, from MSNBC.
Yeah.
And I was, like, you know, giving him a hard time, like, well, I mean, but, you know, you're the, you know, you're the guy here in the Twin Cities. I mean, she should be waiting for you to, you know, let you go first. That, you know, we were just having a lot of fun with that. And, but he was just telling me that, yeah, he was like, it was kind of awkward because we're all back there. And of course, you know, there are some of the bigger reporters and, you know, then there's the smaller ones like him. And, you know, so we had a really good time though. And it was a really cool event. You know, President Biden talked about, you know, the job, like, I think he said there was like $2 billion or $20 billion or something like that, that was being invested in the state of Minnesota for like clean energy jobs. And
wow.
I couldn't hear it because I was, like I said, I was in the back. And he really did a really good job at just explaining all the cool things that are coming out of the Inflation Reduction Act and the investments that are being made into companies here, you know, in Minnesota and around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, we're as Ho-Chunk in Wisconsin are really firing up on that. And, you know, my understanding, too, is that you're going to be helping our nation with some stuff. So really excited to work on that. You know, it's there for the picking, and we just have to have a good plan, and you'll help our tribe with that. And I know you've helped a lot of other tribes out there on Turtle Island with that. And, you know, we're really excited.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm supposed to, well, I don't know yet, but I'm supposed to, I think there's going to be an announcement shortly for the expansion of the EV network into Wisconsin and Michigan. And, you know, so that's going to be cool. And then that includes your nation and the rest of Wisconsin and Michigan. So, and I think I'm supposed to be in Milwaukee on Friday for that announcement. So they're going to let me know if I need to join Secretary Granholm on stage for that or not. But I'll find out probably Wednesday. But it looks like it's a go. So that's kind of cool. And then, Robert, I get to go and be at the vice president's house on April 20th.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I get to for an Earth Day event.
What?
So they want the solar bear out in Washington, D.C. at her. She wants the solar bear out at out at her house for her birthday event on the 20th. So
that's awesome. Get that selfie out there, you know, put it on your Facebook. That's awesome. And get one.
Yeah, gonna stay at Georgetown. Gonna stay in Georgetown, I guess, or some hotel named Georgetown out there, and then gonna go and check it out. And so, you know, I mean, here's the thing: Solar Bear doesn't get invited to like vice president's homes and stuff like that. So take the opportunity when I get him, Robert.
Oh no, and I, you know, I with your career, and we've been following you. I know. You know, you did that symposium a few years ago with the former vice president, and, you know, you're out there doing it, and not only doing it, but I think it's important, and we talk about this a lot, Robert, but it's really important that you're out there and representing not only your nation, but natives that all over Turtle Island, doing this work and talking about renewable energy, but also talking about sovereignty and how that looks with renewable energy. So it's, I really just have to commend you and just think it started as working as the key grip for Native Roots down in Iowa. No,
yeah, but, you know, I have to say, I always get a chuckle whenever I see, you know, like Amy Klobuchar.
Bob gave a resist shirt to Amy Klobuchar, and we kind of resist to Amy Klobuchar, and so it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Gave my bright yellow vest that I could use to Ilham.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not keeping track, Bob. Not at all.
Yeah. They were all like get me at that time too. It was so funny. And you know, and but you're right though, Robert. Like tomorrow, you know, like I get to go speak to the Breck School.
Wow.
You know. About, you know, environmental and you know, thank you. Appreciate you, Trini. But, you know, I get to go speak to Breck School tomorrow and they're going to hold an assembly and, you know, and they're going to, you know, I guess I get to speak to all the kids. They get to ask me questions and some of them are thinking about careers and, you know, and renewable energy and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's really nice to be asked by the, you know, the high schools and the schools town and even the universities, Robert, the colleges, too, I get to go and speak to, too. So, you know, I try and do as much of that as I can. I try and never try to miss those events or days. And, you know, because, you know, I just think it's so important to, like, you know, let the kids know, like, you know, there's hope and they're the hope, like they are the answer, you know, to this problem that we have is, which is climate change.
Well, I don't want to blow your, I know you don't blow your own horn, but I know you're educated and it's so awesome. There's nothing more dangerous than a educated Native American, with all the facts like you have. And I know you've been going to school as long as I've known you and, that's important, and that also brings credibility in the white man's world, too, that we need to pull up a chair, and if there's not a chair there, pull up a folding chair and join in on these great things that could happen across Turtle Island here, and especially for our nations and also this country.
Yeah, you know, Robert, you know, you bring up a really great point. You know, I believe education is the key, and I stress that, you know, all the time. And even in my own family, you know, I lost my brother, Bill.
Yep.
And who was your buddy, growing up. And, he had four kids. And one of the things that he asked me before he died was, you know, Bob, can you please get the kids through college? You know, you know, I'm happy to say here right now on this radio station that I have gotten three of those kids through. I've gotten three of them with their bachelor degrees. They have graduated with their bachelor degrees, and I am on my last one. So I have one more to go. She is currently in school right now, and she's still got a couple more years to go. But I need to get her to get her bachelor's degree so I can have a 4 for 4. And I'm really excited about that. And of course, I have talks with her and motivate her. And she's my world. She really is my world. And your Uncle Bob loves you so much, Olivia. You don't even know, you know, and I just want her to graduate and fulfill her father's wishes, you know, his dying wish. And, you know, so that's how it, you know, that's how important it is to me. And I've always said that I wouldn't ask you kids to do something that I wouldn't do myself, you know. And I think that we adults have to lead by example for our children. If we want them to do things, we need to lead by example. So that's why I've been so tough on myself with my own education experience and have pushed myself because, you know, I need to be a good example for you know, for my brother's kids.
Yeah, and you are. Bill's looking down at you in a good way, Bob. And knowing Bill and what he stood for all those years, you did good. You did good, Bob.
Oh, man. Miigwech, Robert. I really do appreciate that. You know, sometimes I kind of forget all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm just so happy that those kids are healthy. I really am proud that they graduated from college. That was an experience in itself.
Right.
but, you know, to have Olivia at this point, for her to be, you know, in her second year of college, and she knows how important this is. And wow, I can't believe that we'll have like five Blakes with our bachelor degrees and our own little family. And it just makes me so proud that, you know, I was telling my mom, you know, the grandmother, you know, I said, we're going to take a picture for you, Grandma. We're going to have a picture with all of our, you know, college shirts on or something.
Right. College day for sure. Yeah. Robert, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is, you know, the future. And that really excites me to hear that Bill's kids are going through that with your support. And I don't know. I'm kind of broken up just thinking about it, because I know we've had this discussion, not on the radio, but in person, about how important that was. And it's important. So, Bob, can you stick on for a little more after this segment?
Absolutely. Let's talk about some solar news.
Right on with the Solar Bear. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz is running to provide you with the justice you deserve.
For years, Judge Janet has supported the youth and underrepresented communities.
Judge Janet has strong values for public education and believes in setting our communities up for success.
Judge Janet believes that Native rights are sovereign rights.
Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering.
Unlike her opponent, Judge Janet not only talks the talk, but walks the walk.
Judge Janet knows the impact that our courts have on our communities, and she will bring integrity and fairness to the court.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz will fight for us. Let's fight for them.
Make a plan to vote by April 4th.
Find your polling place at vote.wisdoms.org. That's vote.wisdoms.org.
vote.wisdoms.org/EV.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl! Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Blake of the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we haven't talked to Bob in a while, and he was out hanging out with Biden today and the news crew, it sounds like. And let's talk a little solar news, and let's get those hemp batteries going. How do we do that, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. And Robert, I got some news here. So Tesla made a record 422,875 car sales in the first quarter of 2023. Now, why this is significant is because this is like the most amount of car sales for electric vehicles. And the pundits are the naysayers were saying that, you know, that this was impossible for electric vehicles to, you know, reach this type of goal. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is incredible. And it we know that GM and Toyota and all the other big car companies now are sneaking up on Tesla here. But I think this is really shows where I think what the public wants, right?
Yeah.
And incidentally, everyone, I will be getting my Ford Lightning delivered between June and August this year. So I am going to be fully electric, Robert. And so I'm excited about that.
That's very cool. And then while you were talking, I remember like the F-150, the famous I believe Ford truck, there's a electric version of that that's almost like a year behind in orders. I mean, that's how many people want that. And it is a thing. It's definitely a thing. It's not a passing thing. And we need to move into renewable energy for the, you know, for the climate and all these things we talk about. Wendy, I don't know, it was a third largest snowfall in Minnesota history, or at least since they've been taking records, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's April, and we got 5 feet of snow in the front yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the weather, I mean, it's real, climate change is real, and, you know, we have to do everything that we can, Robert, and I totally agree. Hey, Robert, there's a really cool solar project, and this is the reason why I'm mentioning it, is called the Manitowoc County solar project over in Wisconsin. It looks like here it was about 500,000 solar panels. Okay, so we're talking about 800 acres, and the amount of power that this can generate is 45,000 homes a year. Okay, and here's the interesting thing about this is about 150 megawatts of power. So if you guys can kind of get that wrapped around your head, that's probably about the size of what we're going to be building in Red Lake. So
wow.
we're finishing up negotiations right now. The studies are being almost completed here, should be getting them back over to MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, but that's about the size of this project right here in Wisconsin is about the size we're going to be doing in Red Lake. And it's going to be really exciting. Well, anyways, this was completed not too long ago in Wisconsin and is generating 150 megawatts. And it's called the Two Creek Solar Farm. And so it's really exciting project over there. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. But great job out there in Manitowoc County, Wisconsin.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, that is easy. That is very easy for me. New York, and we were talking about batteries. So New York has a plan to get rid to have the grid use batteries. And and they're building a big storage facility, upwards of 6 gigawatts. Now, the reason why this is important, Robert, is I could see utilities all across the country using this model to have their storage kind of follow this lead. So, you know, because we're going to need storage as part of this transition, because obviously, you know, we don't, the sun doesn't shine at night. So, right. I could see a lot of different utilities following the state of New York's model here that they're doing with all these batteries and using them, you know, for their energy needs in the evening. And of course, we all know that the state of New York has really huge energy needs. So right. I think this is going to be really interesting. And also to remember, Robert, that a lot of these East Coast and Western Coast and just on the coast in general, they're going to be doing a lot of offshore wind.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going to be doing a lot of offshore wind projects. So, you know, that they're going to be doing like wind coming in to subsidize those evening hours, you know, peak hours that they're going to need energy.
Wow, that's amazing. And how do you know, we get a lot, we talk about it all the time here in Native Roots Radio. And how do we get the government to support hemp batteries and other than lithium and all that stuff? Because that's got to be something that the government can help fund and support these kind of things. What's the process of that, Bob?
I you know, I really believe it has to be with your policymakers, because you know, if you have hemp, so then you have, you know, if you, the way that I understand it is you can grow, you know, like turn the strain over to THC, right, to marijuana, right? So I think it's that thing that they're really trying to navigate, because you know, marijuana is still scheduled as a schedule B drug or something like that, or a C drug. And so like, I think it's that they're trying to navigate. And that's the way that I see it, because it only makes sense to grow hemp with all the ways that we can use it for concrete, for clothing, right, for powders. I mean, there's so many ways to do this. And so the only thing I can think of is that this is falling back on the whole idea of that if you just switch a strain within the hemp growing process, you know, you're going to get marijuana. So I'm trying to want, and as more and more of our states become legalizing marijuana, I think that you're going to also see the ramp up of hemp, and you're going to see the ramp up of those types of industries, such as, you know, hemp batteries, hemp concrete, all these really good products that we can use from hemp. So please, everyone, that's why you got to get out and vote. It's really, really important that we vote the right people in.
We all have to lobby our politicians. And I believe the mail, I might have this reversed, the male tree does not have the THC, and the female does have the seeds and the THC. So if you're growing hemp, for paper, for batteries, for all these things, it'd be the male plant, not the female plant. But I might have that reversed. But we do need to vote. And Wendy, you know, talking to our local politicians really makes a difference.
It definitely does. And just like Bob said, get out there, know your politicians, and talk to them about things that are important to you.
Right on. Bob, do you got another quick one before we let you go?
Yeah, just the last one here. The U.S. Department of Energy is going to expand its SoulSmart program to 500 more communities, doubling what they're doing now, and offering the technical assistance and to double its reach by 2027. Robert, this is really important, because communities all across the country now will be able to get free technical assistance to deploy renewable energy into their communities by the SoulSmart program offered by the Department of Energy. So to all of you, communities, mayors, county leaders, please reach out to the DOE. They're going to offer you technical assistance to help you get solar in your communities.
Wow, Bob, thanks for hanging out with us today. It's been a while. You're doing great. Can't wait. Thanks for the updates. You've been listening. That was Bob Blake from Solar Bear with the Solar News, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We'll be back tomorrow. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. And remember to vote that Wisconsin. Vote, vote, vote.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane, because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.